All right.
Good job, choir and junior, and all of our pianists and organ that leads us in our music. We appreciate it. And up there, too, our Adam up there on the board this morning. Good job, buddy. Alan and Marty do a great job each week. Big support to us. Now, our message this morning is a continuation of our series out of 1 John chapter, well, we're in chapter 2 this morning. We finished chapter 2 a couple weeks ago. Last week we had our 190th anniversary, so our focus was on that. Now we're back into 1 John, the first letter of John. We started with first chapter with the introduction to the incarnate Word. And you can also read in the Gospel of John about in the beginning was the Word. And then in verse 5, it tells us that God is the light. And now in chapter 2, Christ is our advocate. And tell you what, we need that. We need to know that, don't we, in our lives? We need to know we have someone to go to, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross and died for our sins. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, intercedes for us when we pray. He's our advocate, our paraclete. So, follow along with me. I'll read the first 6 verses. We'll just cover A this morning, our advocate sacrifice for our sins. So, beginning with verse 1. My little children, I'll explain about that later. That's brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, John knows all about that. He's pretty up in age by this time of writing this letter. But he says, writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation, that's kind of an Old Testament word as well, for our sins, and not ours only, but also those of the whole world. So, you know, it kind of goes along with John 3:16, for God so loved the what? World, that he gave his only begotten Son. So he died for the world. Verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Also in chapter 3, verse 23, says similar things. In verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. Or another word for that is complete, completed. By this we know that we are in him. That's good news, right? And in verse 6, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as who walked? Yes, as Jesus walked. And I know so many people say, well, that's difficult because he was perfect. Well, Jesus said we can be perfect too if we strive and abide in his word. Of course, we are on the human side of that, and we struggle with the old nature. The old nature is never going to leave us, is it? It's intact. But we don't have to give in to it. We give in to the spiritual nature, as 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, if we be in Christ, we have what? Become a new creation. Old things have passed and new things have come so that we will walk in the newness of life. So, when we look at these scriptures, you know, John is He really has a heart for the people he is talking to in this letter, and that includes us as well. So, as we move to chapter 2, the Apostle John continues discussing the believer's condition and also the conduct which has personally discovered by walking in God's light, as we talked about in chapter 1. We are to be walking in the light with the little lights of Jesus. He's the big light. And so we are to walk like him. So, having revealed that even Christians sin daily. How many of you don't sin daily? Do you recognize it when you do? What do you do about it? You just say, I'll deal with it later. No, you stop right there. Because the Holy Spirit will point it out to you. And if the Holy Spirit don't point it out, boy, you're in trouble, right? You need to deal with it right there on the spot. And I'm glad. And you see, that's what happens when we keep that close relationship with the Lord, that fellowship. You don't want that fellowship broken. Now, I mean, you're not going to lose your salvation, but your fellowship with God can be broken if you don't confess your sin and deal with it. So, John goes on to point out that God's remedy for sin and to exhort believers is to be obedient. So he's moving us to the obedience to the Father. Just because, you know, it's inevitable that we will sin and forgiveness is available doesn't mean that we should take a relaxed attitude towards sinning. So when you read Romans chapter 6, you know, Paul begins at the very beginning, says, shall we sin so more grace shall abound? He said, well, forbid that. Don't even think about it. You don't want to do that. Christians do not want more grace so you can sin more. You know, you are already extended grace and the mercy that we don't really deserve. But being Christian, we all are to walk in the newness of life. Now, so the believer who craves and wants to grow more Christ-like must go to the advocate. And through Jesus, sacrifice and find cleansing and the conviction necessary to leave that horrible sin behind. Now, those who have done so will abide in the Word, according to what John is saying here, and walk like Christ, or Christ's likeness. So let's, that was the introduction. So let's move on to our advocate's sacrifice for sin. And we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2 this morning. Now, the fact that Christ's blood restores the repentant to the fellowship doesn't make sin any less serious, okay? Sin is serious. It's a bad thing. And we want to avoid it at all costs. So, to protect us from, you know, underestimating the impact of sin, John tells us in verse 1 that Jesus must come to our defense when we sin. And that's why he says in verse 1 again, my little children. Now, isn't that a precious way to approach Christians, John? I mean, we are adopted by Christ. We are his children. I mean, we have the greatest Heavenly Father in the world, right? And we adore, we love our earthly parents, but there's none in comparison to the one in heaven, our Heavenly Father. So, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. So, John said, hey, I want to give you some good instructions how that we can avoid sinning if we go to the advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ. And if anyone sins, so there's that word if, you know, we use that on a daily basis too, don't we? If I hadn't have done this, or if this hadn't happened, and so forth. But if anyone said we have Jesus with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So, as I was saying earlier, John was aged at this time. You know, he's still serving the Lord. In our Bible study Wednesday night, we was talking about, who was we talking about? Anyone? Daniel. Okay, Daniel. Wednesday night Bible study. And in chapter 6, he had, at that point in his life, he was 80, in his 80s. Anybody in their 80s? I'm not, but. he was still serving the Lord. And God said in chapter 9, verse 23, greatly beloved. And then in chapter 10, verse 11 and 19, he said again, greatly beloved. He's talking about Daniel, who was obedient, still serving him, even in his, what? 80s. Right. And we're going to serve him till we're in our, what? 90s and 100s. So, there's no retirement, right? When we're serving the Lord. So, in the life of John here, he had not retired. He was still serving the Lord, and he was doing it gratefully and graciously. Now, when we look at this, out of love for the people, for them, John turns to face a problem of sin head on. He proclaims that the only answer to the killer of sin, or the killer virus. How many of you have had a virus on your computer? What does it do to it? Kind of shuts it down, doesn't it? And that's what John is wanting to do here. The killer virus of sin, he's wanting to shut it down. And he said, we can do that if you go to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ and pray to him. See, the person and work of Jesus, that's what takes place. And that's why the writer of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, Christ is able. He's able to do what? To save whatever, for what, forever, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make what? Intercession. We intercede for one another, right? We pray for one another. And when we have physical or emotional or spiritual needs. So the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, is always making intercession for us. I'm glad, aren't you? So the guilt of falling into sin can weigh heavy on the heart, but in order that we may not lose heart, according to what John is saying here, over our condition, John offers gracious reassurance that we're in good hands. We have a what? Advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. So, advocate or parakletos, one who is called to your side. So, Jesus comes to your side. You know, Satan is always wanting to pull things out of your closet, right? And he's wanting to point at you. You see what you've done? Jesus, look at this sinful person. And John, I mean, not John, but Paul said, I'm the wretched sinner of all people. He thought that of himself. But then he realized that he had been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what made a big difference in his life. And it makes a big difference in our life when we recognize it and we know who to go to. So, in the defense of that day, it was used, or of any day, really, was used of a friend of an accused person called to speak about his character and win the sympathy of the judge. Now, that's what advocate, or someone that goes and stands in your defense. I remember the story about Abraham Lincoln. His son, Robert, had a friend who had entered the service, and Robert Lincoln told him, he said, you know, if you need anything, he says, you let me know. And he said, I will go to my father, and he can make things or change things for you that will make your life better while you're there. Well, Robert had not heard from his friend for a few years. And then when he got up with them later, he explained to Robert, he said, you know, I never did take you up on your offer to intercede or to be an advocate for me. But he said, you know, you don't know how much that meant to me. He said, I had a lot rather that you, being the president's son, than the president Cabot to intercede for me. He said, that was the greatest thing that you could do. So, but you know what? Christians have an even greater comfort when we know that we have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. See, we too know a son whom we can go for help, Jesus Christ. And we have an advocate and a friend to in the court of heaven. You think about that. Years ago, well, we celebrated what? 190 years, and this church was established in 1829. When 1827 through 1929 began as a children's magazine, which first promoted the Pledge of Allegiance of America. How many of you knew that? It was called the Youth Champions. Have you ever heard of that before? Well, way before our time. But they promoted the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag, which had been written by one of the staff members, Francis Bellamy, published for over 100 years by the word, and you've heard this name before, Perry Mason. Remember that word, Perry Mason? Of a company in Boston. And this magazine was filled with entertaining and inspiring stories. Now, one of its most enthusiastic readers was a boy named Earl Stanley Gardner, a young man that was intrigued by the stories of this writer, who later became a writer himself. And when he created a fictional lawyer, and you know who I'm talking about, one who never lost a case. Who was that? Perry Mason. He never lost a case. He named him in honor of a company responsible for the magazine he also loved in a childhood. It was Perry Mason. Now, in countless novels, radio shows, and then television programs, Perry Mason always did what? He saved the day, didn't he? He always won every case, and he always talked the person guilty into testifying, I did it, right there on the stand. Now, we know that all lawyers and prosecutors and everything don't win every case today in our society, but in the unique stories of Perry Mason, he always won each case, didn't he? That's unique. But guess this. None but Jesus, he wins every case, doesn't he? He's our advocate. And when he becomes our advocate, he defends us by pleading his own blood. And there's a forgiveness instead of that fear. If you want to know what Paul talks about, we should have no fear, read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us, right? No fear, no fear. So, in Romans chapter 4, where is Romans? There you are. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. For he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised for our justifications. And then in verse 2, it teaches us that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is a payment for our sins. And that's why he says in verse 2, and he himself is our propitiation. And I use the word in parentheses there, satisfaction. Have you ever heard that song, Satisfied with Jesus? The song, it's an old song, years ago. I am satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me, is Jesus satisfied with me? Now, I love that song. We used to sing that a lot at Northside Baptist Church. This is, this propitiation means we are satisfied with the blood of Jesus Christ, what he did for us, for our sins. And it's still in verse 2. Not for ours only, but also of those of the world. So Jesus is our propitiation for our sins. He is our atonement for our sins, and that's why we can go to him. And that is, he took upon himself the righteous damnation of the Father that we should rightly deserved, that we should have been, you know, we should have took his place and still him being on the cross for us. So Jesus' death is a basic grounds for God's forgiveness. Now, Jesus Christ's death and his shed blood on the cross is the atoning sacrifice for sin and has removed the cause of alienation of our sin. And that's what David talks about in chapter 103, verse 12. Now, holy and righteousness, God can bestow mercy upon the mercifulless sinner. And Jesus himself, again, is that satisfaction. Christ both satisfies God's requirement, and see, he removes that sin from our lives. That's why we can go to him no matter day, night, morning, early morning. How many of you wake up in the morning early, or like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and you ask the Lord, you know, whatever comes to your mind? Might be something you're dealing with. It might be just praising him, and he's there to listen to you. I wake up quite a bit and thinking about sermons. I've told you this before, I think I preach some of my best sermons when I'm asleep. But I'm getting really in it, and I wake up and I say, oh, I need to write that down. And I have. I've jumped out of bed and gone to my office and wrote it down, because I don't want to forget it, because if I don't write it down, I would forget it. But I've come up with some good thoughts that God has laid upon my heart. Because if you go to bed thinking about the Word of God, or you go to bed thinking about Jesus, that's going to be on your mind while you sleep. Whether you realize it or not, it will be. It's a lot better going to bed, well, even going to sleep, praying. It's okay. Don't feel guilty about that. I do it all the time. And I wake up, and I, oh, what a nice night. I went to sleep praying, and I woke up refreshed. So Christ both satisfies God's requirement and removes our sin. Now, as we think about the closure of this particular message today, I want to go back to verse 2. It makes it very clear that Jesus, he died for the whole world. And Jesus stands ready forever to forgive everyone, no matter what you have done. even the worst, Paul, the worst sinner, the wretched sinner, those on death row, whatever crime or whatever sin has ever been committed to by anyone, the Bible says we have an advocate to go to, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Aren't you glad that you can go to Him? I am. I'm glad that I can go to Him and just plead my case. And I know Satan's, a lot of time he's right there. yeah, listen to him. But Jesus said, he's mine. Just hands off. And the Bible says that nothing can snatch us out of the hands of God. He's cleansed us, purity, forgiven us of our sins, and we know it down here deep inside. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you this morning that in John we can know if we sin, we have an advocate we can go to. And he forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, as the first chapter 1:9 says, because you are faithful and you're righteous in all ways to forgive us of our sins. On a daily basis, we deal with a lot of temptations, a lot of things, Lord, that tries to get us off course, try to distract us. But the best thing to do is just stop and pray. Say, Lord, you know, I need your help. Get behind me, Satan. That's all we have to do, and he has to obey because we are your children. Help us always remember that. We're never alone, that you're always in our presence. You see all things and you know all things. You know our hearts and intent of our thoughts. And Lord, help us to always come to you, even in the good times. That way it keeps us more alert in the bad times, that we have an advocate that we can go to, and you will plead our case. And you love us and you care for us because you died for us. If there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you personally as Savior and Lord, Lord, they can. John made that very clear to us. And help us claim and accept your forgiveness of our sins. And never look back. You've forgiven us and we have no fear. Lord, I thank you for your saving grace. Thank you for loving us as you do. And you always love us and care for us. If there's anyone here today looking for a church home, and this is a wonderful church to be a part of, to serve in, a caring church. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here that just needs a special prayer or need, that this altar is a place to come and pour out our hearts to you. You know each and every one of our hearts. You know what we need to do. And you will surface those things that we need to deal with. And we do need to when you do that. So you're always right. And we need to look to you, Lord, and thank you that you love us that much, that you make things real and known to us. So as we sing our invitation, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we willingly accept your invitation to come forward, make whatever decisions you placed upon our hearts, that we, when we leave this place, we know that we've been with you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn invitation this morning is I Surrender All. We sing that a lot.